and welcome to the Real Jaws Minute. I am Jeremy Sternhagen.
I'm Tyson Ferris.
And we are back for episode four of 1978's Piranha.
Who knew you could talk about it for four episodes?
Well, you do now.
Yeah.
We do.
We don't even know how many episodes these are going to go when we're doing them.
Yeah.
So these car racing shots that we keep going back to, I'm not going to get into them a lot. I think we all kind of see what they are. But I do think it should be noted, these are not, these look like they're sped up. Mm-hmm. And they're sped up in a very interesting way. They're not shot with a low frame rate to look faster.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. These are actually done, the speed up is actually done in editing.
Yeah, yeah. You can tell.
So what they do is they actually take out every other frame.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes it faster rather than undercranking a camera.
Yep.
Whereas if you look in like Mad Max where something will like rush up to the camera, like the grill will get right in front of the camera.
Yep.
That is undercranking a camera,
mm-hmm.
which undercranking means you're shooting less frames a second than the normal 24. Mm-hmm. Whereas overcranking, a camera would, so there'd be more frames a second. That would actually slow down. So when you see slow yep. motion, that's actually shooting more frames per second mm-hmm. to make things look slower when they're projected at 24. And then, so if you shot stuff at, you know, like 12 frames a second,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's going to be twice as fast.
And the Mad Max way works better.
It does work better.
It's more
visceral. This has a more comedic effect, I believe.
Exactly right. Because the way they do it in Mad Max, if you shooting it at a lower frame rate versus cutting out every other frame, basically going from 24 to 12, both do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're exposing 12 frames of film per second. But the way the Mad Max one works better is it gives the motion blur
mm-hmm.
that makes things look naturally fast. Your brain can still sometimes tell like that's sped up,
mm-hmm.
but you get that motion blur because the camera exposure is longer. Whereas with what we're seeing here in Piranha at, you know, 1 hour and 5 minutes in is nothing. It just looks like a silent movie. It looks like Keystone Cops. It looks like Buster Keaton.
Totally. And it's the one thing in this film that I think feels really out of place.
It does. This high speed chase is just.
But my understanding is Corman would just all of his films, all the car scenes are this way. It's just 100%. They're like, this is just how we do it, and this is what we're doing.
Because I think when they're shooting it, probably the directors are not thinking like, oh, I'll shoot it. Like let's pause a moment to change the way our cameras work.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably more economical to just.
It could even be the cameras couldn't do that.
Yeah, yeah. But they'll figure it out in post.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, it's a weird effect.
This was probably shot in 16 millimeter too, I'm just guessing.
I don't know.
I'm guessing.
It's a pretty low budget production. I imagine it probably would have been.
Yeah.
So then we get the first piranha attack. The girl, they're out on the inner tubes and stuff. They're doing the swimming and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And our first piranha attack,
mm-hmm.
it comes right at the camera.
Oh, where the animated piranha opens its mouth right at the camera.
Right at the camera.
Yep.
And then the next shot is the camera's like point of view
mm-hmm.
going right into a little girl's crotch.
Well, before we get to that, I want to point out that there's a great, one of the best shots in the movie, which I wish went on longer, is you have that shot of the girl, of a kid in the inner tube.
Oh, and then swarming.
The growing mass of it. Piranha in the distance. I think that shot could have gone on longer.
Yeah.
That's actually something about this movie is nothing stays on screen that long.
Yeah.
Like shots that could build to something just cut away to something else.
Yeah. And I think that's probably good because I think the longer you looked at it, the more fake it might look.
That's true.
The only shot they use that just doesn't work for me is the kind of silhouetted piranha that go like left to right.
Those don't work as well.
Those just really
the animated and effect stuff works better.
Yeah, the effect stuff, and then like a lot of them are just practical effects. Apparently, they were just little piranha fish on poles that basically, you know how you have those like kind of reacher those old people reach guns where can just
like it's a
trigger it and you can go grab something from the top of a shelf. It was basically one of those things, but it would just unhinge the jaw.
Yep.
And then the jaws were made of steel teeth, and then they would just rip apart these mannequins underwater with these little grabber teeth things on poles.
I'm imagining the effects on this were, that was pretty straightforward, pretty easy to make.
Yeah, they apparently they shot all those things first as proof of concept.
To show that it would work.
To show Corman that it would work. And then basically shot all that stuff and then built a film around it. So
all of these.
Anyway, but we went away from, so the first piranha attacks is a little girl's vagina. I don't know how we went away from that, but anyway.
Just her general pelvic region. I won't get that specific.
Well, I think I'm going to get that specific because we had that period joke earlier and how she shouldn't go swimming because maybe she's doing that anyway. And I was like, oh, did this little girl just finally get her period?
Oh man.
I think the movie is supposing that. I don't think I'm making that up.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
They very specifically show this thing go right at camera and then right into a little.
And it happens a lot. It happens like five more times in the scene where every camera shot is like, pelvis, 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 pelvis. Like,
yeah, I just
it's not going for feet or ankles or knees. It's very like right into groin areas.
But I think there might be something there. Anyway,
only Joe Dante knows.
Yeah. Anyway,
what did you think about the piranha leaping from the water to Paul Bartel's face?
I didn't think much of it. I think it was fine. Like they just kind of threw a fish at his face. Like. It might have been some like reverse acting. I don't know. Like
it's funny that
like maybe they had it attached to his face and then they pulled it away. Like, was it reverse film?
I'm sure it was. It's just funny to me to think that like the piranha would do that. Like all this easy picking food under the surface and like, no, I'm going to jump right at that guy's face.
But I do think this film, much like, I don't know, many films of its type, we get, you know, our ne'er-do-well characters have to have some sort of comeuppance, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Totally right.
So I think that's what's happening.
Has anyone besides Joe Dante spoke this extensively about this movie?
I don't know.
Other than the running comment. By the way, the Blu-ray that my Blu-ray that I lent you to watch for this has the commentary on it. There's a newer Blu-ray of this movie from the last couple of years that in addition to the commentary that you and I heard, because ours is the commentary, I think the commentary you and I heard is recorded.
2004.
Right.
Yep.
There's a newer edition of this movie that has another Joe Dante, I think it's him by himself, commentary.
I'd love to listen to that.
I can't imagine. Yeah. I want to hear it. I can listen to Joe Dante talk for hours. I know some people find him kind of dry and boring, but if I think it's because he's specifically speaking to us. Movie nerds.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Anyway. So yeah, I think the piranha attacks the little girl's vagina. I think it's a tie in to the period joke earlier. Mm-hmm. Then we get an extended piranha sequence that just attacks people after people after people after people, kids after kids after kids after kids. And it's all pretty well done. It's, I don't know.
It's well edited. It's well shot. It's what they got.
And it's what we came here for. Like, we came to see people eating bread piranhas, and that's what we're getting.
From here to the end of the movie, pretty much.
So
we're like an hour and 5 hour and 10 minutes into this movie, and pretty much from here to the end of the movie, it's nothing but piranha.
And then one of my favorite shots of the film, might be my favorite shot of the film.
I think I know what you're going to say.
Is basically the end of this sequence, and it's the one of the main camp counselors, the brunette.
The girl from Gremlins.
Yeah.
Yep.
She gets pulled down by the piranha, like way down into the depths.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic.
And the music cue is fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah. It's kind of like weirdly heroic and tragic.
Yeah. But the visual is just fantastic. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
As he just kind of goes down to these inky depths with this big cloud of red, and she's just.
And piranha all over
her. Yeah, and she's scratching, like, kind of at the water. She goes down. Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And then we cut to Dick Miller, and Dick Miller don't care.
Is this the... Oh, yeah. It's not That's late. I was thinking about it later. It seemed, yeah, he's feeding a pig.
Yep.
And by the way, his like right-hand man.
I love that he like has a briefcase telephone. Like, I don't know what that is. Like in.
Because the mayor of, you know, rural Texas aquatic river world. Surreal.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And then we kind of skipped over it that there's like an inside, like there's a, this Dick Miller character and the general have like a side deal going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, just kind of feeding into the big storyline of like, it's all,
I think we just, man. I think we just, talked about it about as much, as the movie does.
Yep.
So, so then, yeah, we're at this, resort thing. We kind of get this great opening shot. There is a gal in a white bikini that really should be pointed out at the very beginning of the scene.
I have a feeling there's a reason she,
I think there's a very specific reason that she was in the foreground of the shot. Yes. As they picked her right out of the group and went, hey, you're going to.
Yeah. Why don't you right there?
Anyway. Yeah. It's a nice, it's a nice posterior, let's say.
He's rocking what she got.
Yep. And it's very obviously prominently placed in the it shot. Is.
And it is. Somehow it works, but there is something to be said
for. And if you guys think we're being sexist pigs, this is what this movie is going for.
We're
this,
not.
This is what it's trying to do. It's not that we're just picking these things out. It's,
yeah.
They're very much doing this on purpose.
Yes.
It's this, part of their MO.
This yeah. movie is sexist and gratuitous and not sexist.
And it's, I don't think it's not, too not sexist.
But it.
I will say it I don't know. It does seem like more women get killed than, well, maybe not. I don't know.
I think you're right. I think I hear where you're coming from. I think I hear what you're saying.
I feel like a lot more women and children get killed in this film than normal movies.
Yeah. Well, it's, I think, well, a big thing to take away, just this movie's place in history and in the Roger Corman.
And actually, I don't have a problem with that at all. It's just.
Yeah.
I think it is what it is.
So Roger Corman is an exploitation producer.
Yeah.
He did have a legitimate, like, serious attempt at filmmaking where he even directed some of his own movies. And that's largely his Edgar Allan Poe mm-hmm. series of movies.
Mm-hmm.
Tomb of Lasia and what else? Mask of the Red Death. He had they're really good movies.
Yeah.
And he had a much, much bigger budget to do those. But where this movie comes firmly in the Roger Corman filmography where, and he's on record, you can read his books, like he's basically like, the movies will have this much violence per reel, or mm-hmm. in other words, every 15 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and they will have this much nudity per reel. Mm-hmm. Like he's following a strict formula. Like,
and actually so, this movie does not adhere to that very well, actually.
No. If you go watch, oh man, I can't remember all the titles, but like I mentioned it earlier, Humanoids from the Deep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm brain farting on another one, but those movies are far more gratuitous, far less subversive, far less tongue in cheek, but somehow fun.
Oh yeah.
Just as fun.
They're all fun.
But this one is, this Piranha's kind of working on a different level.
Yeah, it is.
A
little bit more. And it's,
I think a part of it too is Joe Dante. He walks the line and he shows restraint
yeah.
in a way that he still checks all those Roger Corman boxes.
He does check a lot of the boxes, but not nearly as often as probably he was supposed to.
Right. Like the shot of the girl in the white bikini is just done in a way where it's like, it's not like the camera's zoomed in and like, check it out. It's just like, nope, there's just.
Well, it kind of starts on her and then kind of pulls back.
Yeah. It's done just right.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, she's there for a reason. Anyway.
Oh, but what I was going to say is like, it's interesting that this movie in, now we, here we are with, about 15 minutes to go. We're getting a whole new set piece, a whole new location that we haven't seen mm-hmm. until this point in the movie. It's just funny to me that the movie does this. Like,
yeah.
We've gotten the Dick Miller character a little earlier, but now we're getting all these, like, you get the guy in the lawn chair doing the Pratt Falls with his beer.
Yeah, I was just going to say the fatty goes boom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the way the movie.
I could have done without that.
the way the movie just ramps up the comedy. There are scenes like that where I wonder, like, did Joe Dante even film that? Like, Roger Corman just said, hey, go shoot that.
Yeah.
Like, we gotta need a little bit more of this and that in the movie.
Yeah.
We get our heroes still racing towards
summer camp. And then we're back at the resort.
And you get the scene with the woman and the colonel where she asks him why he's not a general yet.
Yeah.
That is another just like has no consequence to the movie yet is like just kind of a charming little scene.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
just tells us all we need to know. I mean, well, we already know
he calls her a cow under her breath.
Yeah. Like the guy has just sealed his fate.
Oh yeah. Right? Yeah. As if he hadn't already.
Yeah.
But I like it that only 18 people are allowed upon this boat that he's about to go on to.
Yeah.
very prominently. And I actually paused it. I counted 16 people on the boat. So.
Oh, yeah. And it's about to get a whole lot more at the end of the movie.
Yeah. Too. So I think this foreshadows the colonel's demise.
His demise.
To quote our favorite movie.
That did come back to me a second here. Celebrating my third wife's demise. Anyway, go back and listen to our old episode.
No one else pronounces that word that way.
Listen to our old episode.
Not demise.
So we get a cameo here from one of our special effects guys here in the form of one of the scuba divers. Did you know that?
Oh, really?
Yeah, Phil Tippett.
Cool.
One of the scuba divers. So you briefly and by the way,
right here we get a skiing scene and a scuba scene
simultaneously.
Yes. I'm like in the same summer as Jaws 2.
Yep.
What was in the water?
And do I dare suggest that this scene is better than any? It's definitely the scuba diving scene might be better.
Scuba diving scene is better.
Yep.
Not much.
A little bit. I do love the shot of the camera looking down and the bubbles rising up towards the camera. Yes. I think that's a great shot.
That's a cool shot. It's certainly shot in a more fun way than the Jaws 2. And it's certainly faster than the Jaws 2 scuba scene.
Yeah.
And then I dare say... I kind of think this, even the skiing scene is shot better than the Jaws one. But my caveat on that is this scene doesn't have an ending.
No, it has. Well, the scuba diving water skiing scene.
Well, the scuba diver scene has an end, but it kind of happens in the middle of the skiing scene. But then the skiing scene, it never finishes.
It finishes with the boat explosion.
But that's not the boat we were... That's just two other boats collide and they explode.
Oh, yeah. There's a random
boat. Then there's no... What happened to the skiing guy?
All of it is serving... It's all a means to an end. And the end is dead scuba diver in the water, which, by the way, is Phil Tippett.
Okay.
And then how can we make a boat explode? Like
but then there's no end to it. Like,
no,
it just stops at the explosion. I was like, well, but that's not the end of the scene.
No, this all reeks of like,
so I have a problem with that.
It's a mandate to Joe Dante from Roger Corman that you must have
boat explosion is convoluted and doesn't end the skiing scene.
No, the guy wipes out. We don't ever see him again. Like, yeah. there's no stakes for him.
We didn't know if he got ate up. We were afraid he was going to get ate up. And
yeah.
So either have my point is either have him get away or get eaten. But you can't have neither.
Yeah, it definitely feels just like it's a scene that got thrown in. Because otherwise,
what's the point of all of this?
To entertain the audience with water skiing and explosions.
I guess so.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It doesn't work super great.
It just needs an ending.
It just needs an ending. I'm fine with all of it.
Yeah.
It just needs an ending.
Or it needs to have some consequent, like you see them shooting by all the river party people, the resort. Like it needs to somehow combat, like maybe the water skier needs to crash into a crowd of people.
And that's how, and maybe he gets ate up and that's what brought the school of fish in to feed on all the other people. I don't know.
Something connects. Yeah. And anyway. By the way, I just got to throw out real quick that the boat that explodes, you know, before the other boat even hits it.
Yeah.
just, you know,
the whole thing's not convincing. It's very convoluted.
I love the idea of it.
It's a nice idea. It's just weird.
Missing an ending.
It's just missing an ending.
It ends on the slow motion shot of the, police car jumping over a hill.
Yeah.
And then you get the girl reading Moby Dick.
Yeah, that was,
very on the nose.
Very on the nose. Didn't love that, but, I was like, yeah, we get it, guys.
And then immediately following this is when everybody gets eaten by piranhas.
Yeah. And then, people start getting eaten and then
you get the same shot repeated about 40 times.
Yeah. And then, another great little Dick Miller scene. He's talking to the,
he's on
talking
the phone.
To the news on the phone. He's like, there's nothing going on here. Ba da ba da ba. And, he's basically doing his best.
It's a beautiful day.
It's a beautiful day. Great place to go swimming.
The sun is shining.
The sun is shining.
As you can see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
then you get,
as you know, amity means friendship, you know? And he's like, sir. He's like, what? He's like, the piranhas. He's like, I don't give a shit about the piranhas. And he's like, yes, but they are eating the guests, sir.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's hilarious. I'll have to talk to you later.
Yes.
Yeah.
If the movie couldn't have been more just like, yep, we know what we're doing.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And then you get the cutaway to the bobbing head with the eyeball in the water.
Rob Bottin's head.
Rob Bottin. Yep.
Great. Apparently he had filmed a whole other sequence.
That didn't get used
in the film, but they used that particular head bobbing
from
his sequence that he filmed.
Ah.
Anyway, so then I said that the piranhas undoing the lashing would have a payoff at the end, and mm-hmm. here's the payoff.
Okay.
The piranhas undo a bikini top. We know they can untie knots. So they undo a bikini top and then eat the boobs. Which I just think that's fantastic.
Would you believe that I didn't notice that until I watched it 2 days ago? However many times. Maybe something about VHS and a small TV. I never noticed it before. And then I'm like, wait, what?
They untie a bikini top and eat the boobs. I just wanted to say that again.
Yeah.
It's so funny to me.
Wasn't there a mention? I think I found
out.
The
funniest thing to me is that I completely buy it inside of the film because they unlash that boat.
Yeah, it makes sense.
It makes sense inside the movie.
Well, and just strictly from a movie making.
It would seem gratuitous any other place, but they've actually set it up.
From a the only thing this movie's missing. So, okay, you're in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Piranha attacking you. What's the one thing in this movie that's missing?
There's no bite off, is there?
Right. that happens in a Piranha, the remake.
It might have made the remake.
The Piranha 3 DD or whatever.
There might be a member that drops
down. Oh, yeah. I think that, yeah. But anyway, like that's, okay, it's gratuitous, yes, but really like, if you're in the water and tiny fish are biting at you, if you're a guy, you're worried about your getting bitten. If you're a girl, you're worried about your boobs or your lady parts.
Yes.
So, well played movie.
Yes, well played.
That's why everyone sat through 90 minutes of this movie is to see your private parts get bitten. And it happens.
So, the colonel is actually throwing people back into the water at this point.
Keeping people off his boat.
Yes.
Yes. Self-preservation.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff in here, but I'm just kind of skipping along to the things that had really stuck out to me. There's this guy just eating up bloody back that just kind of lands on the sand. And then it goes straight to this really badly bitten, like bloody legs.
I thought the bloody back was actually one of the better special effects.
Oh, no, it's good. Movie. I like it. That's why I'm pointing it out.
Yeah.
And then the bloody legs, and these bloody legs of somebody, and they're getting drug like through sand castles.
Through across the sand castle.
Yeah. And I was like, ooh, that's going to get infected.
Yeah. I hate sand. It's coarse and it's dry and it gets everywhere.
It gets in all my wounds.
It's into my mortal leg wounds.
My mortal leg wounds. And then we get the colonel gets eaten, which is very satisfying.
Yes.
I love watching his...
He should have been a little more gratuitous, actually.
Should have been more gratuitous, I think. Yeah. I think they give him a little too nice of a death.
Yeah.
But it, I got to say, I was very, very happy about it.
Oh, something we skipped over.
And is I like the hat floating down with the cloud of blood.
Oh, yeah. Like, and the water he falls into is like chocolate milk. It's pretty muddy at this point.
I feel like they've pumped so much fake blood into it. It's just a mess.
Yeah.
Like,
something we skipped over throughout the course of this movie is the varied pronunciations of piranha. Kevin McCarthy, I even think he says piranha.
Oh, piranha?
And then other people say piranha. Like, it's all over the map.
Huh.
But there's definitely a through line of, like, the people who the normal, like, the regular characters in the movie say piranha. Piranha. Even Dick Miller gets it right. It's like, piranha.
Yeah.
Anyway, I did note that Kevin McCarthy had a very specific pronunciation of it, piranha.
I did not catch that. So, yeah, then they jump into a boat. Everybody's getting eaten. They jump into a boat.
Mm-hmm.
They speed off. And he ties a cord around his torso, like a hay rope, it looks like. And
then he proceeds to go underwater for about 15 minutes.
So I have 100 seconds my ass.
Yeah.
She starts counting. She says 88 at 170 seconds, by the way.
Yeah, he jumps in.
So she is the worst counter in the world.
You did it too. I actually did count it down.
Anyway, she says 88 at 170 seconds, and then I think he gets pulled out about 20 seconds after that.
Yeah, he's underwater for almost 4 minutes of screen time. Yeah. We don't actually see him. We see his hand pop up, but it's roughly, it's pushing 4 minutes.
Yeah.
That he's underwater.
It's also, who, I mean, at this point, if you're worried about this, you're not into the movie.
But it is our job as podcasters to point it out.
Yeah, then you get a film at 11, basically, you know, and then you have all these people filming things, and then Dick Miller's just horrified. By
what are you filming? Everything.
What are you filming? And I looked at, if you watch that scene, the camera that this man has, I have no clue what it is.
Oh, the what are
it
you
filming?
It
doesn't even look like a real camera. Like, it is like the craziest camera I've ever seen in my entire life.
I can only assume it's like,
it like goes over his shoulder and like halfway down his torso.
Is that what a video camera looked like in the
70s? I don't think so.
You're right. It's absurd.
Absurd. And I was like, he's going, what the hell are you filming? I'm like, what is he filming?
Not filming anything.
Yeah. And I think there's like a piece of like tape at the bottom of
it. It's like a motorcycle fender with a lens on the front.
Yeah, it looks completely made up. And maybe it's real, but I don't know. It's it's just a bonkers camera. Take a look.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. And then great ending here.
Yeah. Like, there's no movie left to make. They just.
And they basically have the lady scientist getting interviewed.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, no, they'll never get to the ocean. They'll die off before they get there. And
straight into the camera, she says.
Straight into the camera.
There's nothing left to fear.
There's nothing left to fear. Then you get the sound of, you get the surf. You get the dentist drill sound effects.
Yep.
And then it goes to red water.
Yep.
So now we have bookending.
Yep.
Red water credits.
Yep.
Which I think is a nice touch. And it's straight into the credits. And there's a lot of cool stuff in the credits, but the only thing I'm going to point out, Brandy.
Yes.
Which is the dog's name in the film.
Yes.
The dog's name is Jack Cardwell.
The
dog's name is Jack Cardwell. And I thought for a second, Brandy was trained by a man named Jack Cardwell. That's not true, because the dog trainer is later in the credits. So the dog's actual name.
They didn't hire like a voice actor to do the barking? Because you've seen that before.
Is Jack Cardwell.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That's a running joke between me and my sister, is that you name your pet, like, you have a dog named Alan.
Yeah.
Like you just pick the most benign human name for an animal.
All my dogs have had human names.
So. Very, and not just like George or Steve. Like,
I've had Jack.
Yeah.
Jack was a dog of mine. Jessica was a dog of mine. That was my first dog.
My sister had a dog named Karen.
Yeah.
And a dog named Bill.
Yeah.
Bill and Karen the dog.
Yeah, I like dogs with human names.
This is my dog Denise.
Yeah, I have. I've had dachshunds my entire life, and I had Jessica was my first dog. Jack was my second dog.
Great dog names.
Then we had Jimmy, and then Maddie.
Mm. I didn't have as many dogs as you.
So, Maddie's still kicking around.
Good, man. I know Maddie. She's great.
Yeah.
I love Maddie. She can snuggle with me.
Yep.
So that was Piranha.
All right. Yeah. A little bit long in part four, but.
It's okay.
Wanted to keep this thing inside of a month.
One month of Piranha.
Yep. Well, that's all I got, buddy.
Yeah. Piranha is a great movie. I love it. And
I feel like it has a real rewatchability.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I went into what I've seen Orca rewatching Orca. That was probably like it's single digits that I've seen that movie. And in watching it in one sitting start to finish, it's probably two times. Piranha, I've probably seen 10 plus times. Like most Joe Dante movies.
Like I said, I've watched this film basically three times inside of a week.
There you go. And you're probably going to see it again.
And I didn't mind it at all.
Mm.
So
my opinion of this movie was elevated by my recent watching of it.
I didn't mind it in the fact that I'd seen it that many times inside of a week.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. I got it.
Did we talk about this in the
opening episode? One of them was in 45 minutes instead of a half hour.
Where were your expectations based on the fact that you knew it was a Joe Dante movie?
I had higher expectations just because I really like him as a filmmaker.
Yeah.
He's made my favorite werewolf movie.
That's right. We talked about that, Howling. I definitely lean American Werewolf in London over Howling.
I get that.
Yeah.
I mean, you're wrong, but I get it.
Okay. Yeah. I will also caveat that with, I haven't seen The Howling in a long time.
I like The Howling so much that my band that I had in...
Oh, yeah. We mentioned this.
Do I mention this?
Give me a sec. I might even remember it.
Do I mention this in the other
You did, part? Yeah. Oh, okay. Sylvan Venery.
Sylvan Venery.
Yes. Yeah.
For which means sex in the woods. Yeah.
That's funny. I need to rewatch. Not even for this podcast. I'll just rewatch The Howling.
Yeah.
So my expectations of... So I went into this going
like, I'd like to rewatch The Howling with you because I have not seen it in years.
It's a date.
So, yeah.
I went into this going like, I like Piranha. And rewatching it elevated my view of it. So I'm kind of hoping the same happens for Alligator. It's been a few years since I've seen
it. Cool.
So I'm hoping that gets elevated. But we're probably due not for another ripoff. We're probably due to head back to...
Probably heading back to the Jaws franchise, I think.
Yeah, it's about Jaws 3 time.
Yeah.
I apologize in advance. But I think it's good that you just watched Piranha because you're going to head into Jaws 3. You need to calibrate your Jaws 3 experience a little more towards the Piranha end of the spectrum.
Okay.
Unless the Jaws, even the Jaws 2 end of the spectrum, were way more on the Orca.
Well, honestly, I think I like Piranha more than I like Jaws 2.
Oh, I do. Yeah. I like Jaws 2, but there's a lot more going on in Piranha.
Certainly, of all the films we've watched so far, I would pick Piranha first out of everything I've seen.
Yeah. It'll be interesting.
Now, granted, it's only three movies, but
Out
of those three, I would definitely put Piranha on before I'd put on anything else.
I think I mentioned this at the end of Orca, that I think that concluded my lifetime's work of viewing Orca ever again. I'm done.
Yeah, don't need to watch Orca anymore.
I'm done now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'll be interesting to see after Jaws 3 if we're up for Alligator or Jurassic Park or probably Alligator.
Yeah, we'll have to see.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess we'll see you here next time for Jaws 3, unless we change our minds, because we can do whatever we want. It's our podcast.
Yeah.
But that's it.
We're really dragging this ending out here.
Sorry. I just wanted to, I needed to have like a wrap up of Piranha. Sorry.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, with Piranha in the books. Catch us next time for Jaws 3.
On the Real Jaws Minute.
Yep.
Check us out on Facebook and hit us up on the PayPal if you want to. That'd be cool.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.